The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on a break!
With Ambar Garcia, Brian Broaddus, Patrick Walker, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Wednesday, December 13th, 2023, season 19, episode number 87. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We are live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. It's our job today to get you ready for Cowboys versus Buffalo Bills. We're going to talk about the Bills' offense today. And we'll actually start just getting kind of a big picture look at this team, because this is one of the most puzzling teams I think there are in the NFL. But before we do that, let's start off with an injury, the big injury for the Cowboys, the only real injury that the Cowboys are worried at this point about. Jonathan Hankins, he had a high ankle sprain, is what I think it was diagnosed as. What do we know at this point, and how long should they expect him to be out?
Well, as you stated, it is a high ankle sprain, but I'm told that it's of the mild variety, not a ton of concern. There's no dialogue about potentially putting him on injured reserve, which would block him out for at least 4 weeks. So it sounds like he could be back, you know, far before then, but they're going to take it on a day by day, which is what it looks like. I think they'll revisit to see if he'll be available next week against the Miami Dolphins, but there's a good likelihood he won't take the field this week against the Buffalo Bills. But again, doesn't sound like it's worst case scenario, and as we have this conversation, barring any changes between now and the next few days, I know Mike McCarthy is scheduled to speak this afternoon again, see if we get another update on Hankins from him, but right now it doesn't sound like it's an IR situation.
Probably a couple games.
Yeah.
Brian, the obvious replacement here, Mozzie Smith, your first round pick. Talk to me about how you've seen him play over the last, if you take the first part of the season and then maybe the last few games, have you seen any progress? What are you seeing from him?
Mozzie Smith's only problem is when he doesn't get off the ball with everybody else. When he's the last one off the ball, he's going to get blocked. He's going to get hooked. He's going to get reached. He's going to get pushed. Mozzie is a very powerful player. When he comes off the snap and gets into a defender, he can disengage with the defender quickly when he plays on the move. The problem is, though, there are times when you watch him and you can stop the tape, and everybody else is moving, and he's still in his stance. And that's a huge advantage for offensive linemen, especially when they try to double-team you or, as I mentioned, scoop you, reach you, get to your corner, turn you. He's already at a disadvantage. And that's Mozzie's biggest problem right there, is that there's times where he's coming off the ball with everybody else. He's moving. They really can't block him all that well because of how strong he is. But he plays limited snaps, and he has like 8 really good snaps and then 3 snaps where he's not very good. And, you know, he needs to develop a little bit more consistency of coming off the ball. That, to me, that's the absolute biggest issue that he deals with when he plays. He has to fight that of like seeing the ball, getting off on the ball, and then being engaged in where he needs to go.
You guys anticipate that Mozzie's going to be the answer during this time when Hankins is out, and is that enough?
I think the answer is staring you in the face as far as Oso Digizua, Chauncey Golston, Neville Gallimore should get a lot more burn. I think I'm pretty expecting that Mozzie Smith will get more reps, but I don't think that he's going to be the one that you immediately look for and say you're, you know, Jonathan Hankins until further notice.
But here, just real quick, I like those guys. Mm-hmm. Those guys don't have the size.
Yeah, you're
of
right.
Hankins.
Which is when it comes to Carl Davis.
You need to learn who Carl Davis is.
Then it comes
is.
To Carl Davis, yeah. Former third round pick, recently signed to the practice squad. Got I think 19 NFL starts under his belt, so he's got some. He's a veteran still. You know, not an older guy, not a younger guy, right there middle ground. So he's going to step in as well, and you'll see him likely elevated as early as this week against Buffalo. So there's that extra body, and fortuitous timing on adding him to the practice squad, because that was only a couple weeks before Hankins went down with this injury. So good job by the Cowboys and the scouting department to get, you know, that extra body in before they needed it. So yeah, you're going to, like Brian said, get used to hearing Carl Davis, because he's going to get some burn as well.
Do you have a scouting report on him?
Yeah, I just, you know, with Carl Davis, when you watched him play, and he came out of Iowa, and he was one of those guys that, when you look at the size, it's very similar to what you have with a guy like Hankins, a big square body guy, doesn't get turned very much, plays with more power than he does that athletic ability or pass rush ability. Coming out of college, though, he was a hard guy to move. You watched him just eat up blocks. But his main asset to a team is his size. That's where he's at his best. If you're not going to get a lot of, you're not going to get a lot of pass rush at him or covering a lot of ground sideline to sidelines. He's one of those guys that takes up the space. If they run into his area, he's capable of getting off the block and making a tackle right there at the spot. But chasing down plays and stuff like that is something that it's not really, really part of his game.
Good thing is you said he eats up blocks. I love that because it keeps my running backs running around without guards on them. So that's a good thing for them. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Buffalo. This is a 7-6 team. They are currently not in the playoffs. Currently, they are the 11th team in the AFC. That all being said, they've beat Kansas City at Kansas City.
Yeah.
They beat Miami, and they lost in overtime to Philadelphia in a game they should have won. Like, let's be clear, they should have won that game. If you were ranking them relative to the teams,
they lost the Patriots too.
They have, right? So it's like all these mixed signals that you're getting from them.
Right.
My question is, if you were to rank them right now relative to the teams the Cowboys have played this season, where would they be ranked?
Ooh, just watching their offensive tape, I would say this team. And I was on with their guys last night on their podcast, and the Buffalo Bills have a podcast, and I was on with them. This is a team I don't want to really play. I just think there's too much talent, I know, on the offensive side of the ball right now. When you look at the quarterback, you look at the wide receivers, the tight ends, you look at the running backs, there's a lot of talent there. So give me whatever team Dallas has played that has really good offensive talent.
San Francisco. They better than San Francisco?
Not to that level. But, yeah, it's very much like it's almost like Seattle, where you're dealing with a couple wide receivers that can really play. Seattle didn't have the tight end that you play, but man, they've got two guys. They're both been kind of banged up. The running back with Cook, there's some things about him that you just, when they throw him the ball, and now with Joe Brady, they have a new play caller, so they look like a different team, you know. So you're going to get schemed a little bit, and you're going to get schemed with talented players. The problem they run into is they got a quarterback that will turn over the ball at a heartbeat. So you can't really say, well, you know, that's been a lot of their issues, is they've dealt with, you know, at times he's turned over the ball at the worst of times. So I would put them in the top probably four teams that Dallas has played when you're just looking at offensive skill right now. That would be my guess.
Sorry, guys. I've been Brandon Aubrey was named NFC Special Team Players of the Week. So I'm posting the story and dealing all of that since there's only
and
one
you have
of
to do
me.
That in, you ever do that in Spanish and then come back and speak
that
with us in English?
Week,
yeah, so. I mean, I don't really have a team, Derek, so it's all on me to do it.
Sorry.
But what was the question?
Oh, I was saying, like, looking at this Buffalo team, they're all over the map, like, as far as their production relative to who they are and what the players that they have. How would you rank them if you were ranking
with
them?
Everything
how would you
do.
Rank them if you ranked them against the other teams the Cowboys have played? Where would you put them?
Well, I did hear Brian say that's a tough one to kind of rate there because they don't have that kind of consistency, but you cannot take them easy. Like I'm trying to look the right word. Like you
Rams?
Cannot. Yeah, yeah.
Could they be the Rams?
Well, they have a lot of talent. That you're like, I'm afraid of this guy. I'm afraid of this guy.
They're very. Yeah. They have a lot of talent, and you just never know what kind of team is going to show up. They can completely dominate you, or you can dominate them and end up with the win. Honestly, the biggest thing coming into this weekend is the fact that the Cowboys have to travel over there and play in their own stadium. Those people, they're used to that. That's their home. That's where they play. The Cowboys, they're not used to that. And taking into account, we do have a lot of young players that are on this Cowboys team. So when you talk about the experience and having to travel into those conditions, and I think you said the weather is not terrible this weekend.
No, it's actually pretty good. There's some rain that's crept into toward maybe the end of the game.
Yeah, around like 7
but
PM.
That's still only 30% chance. But it's for December in Buffalo.
If you ask me, you feel great.
Yeah, I learned something last night. Buffalo, the players in Buffalo don't like to play in the bad weather.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we were talking about it on the podcast, and they were saying, you guys are probably going to catch a pretty good day. And, you know, and I said, well, how does that affect when you guys play? And he goes, oh, no, our guys don't want to play in wind and rain and cold and snow and all that.
No one does.
No, we live in it, but to be honest with you, the offense wants to play in dry conditions.
Think about how they play offense, too.
That's exactly right.
We'll see.
Catch a break. You do. Yeah. I think you're going to catch a break. Now, they're talking about wind on Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
See if the wind creeps in. That's the only thing that I worry about when you play in Buffalo at that stadium is the wind. It could affect the way you could throw the football. I do believe that Buffalo has the advantage of running the football against you in this football game.
I would say this is the third best team that the Cowboys are going to face.
Really?
I would see it that way because the 49ers, I mean, you cannot take them off the top of the list. They're the best of the best when healthy. And then the Eagles, despite of how they're playing this year, the Eagles have always been a challenge for the Cowboys. Every year, that's always, regardless of how the season, it's always a competitive game, regardless of the situation. And they do have a lot of talented players. But Buffalo, as far as everyone they face right now, I would rank them right in third because of all the talented players that they do have.
I would probably put them at fifth. I would go San Francisco, Philadelphia, Miami, Detroit, and then Buffalo. A little bit more of an edge to Buffalo when you're playing in Buffalo than when you're playing Detroit here in Arlington and Dallas. But still, I think Detroit, even though they've kind of struggled past couple weeks, I think they're a better team than Buffalo. They're definitely a more consistent team these last couple games, notwithstanding. By the way, I'm saying
that they've played.
I'm saying, because I already know people are going to send me messages.
Yeah. Ah, you're so dumb. You're so stupid. Okay, I'm talking about people that – because I already
I
really
thought
know.
The same thing of teams they've already played.
Teams that they've played, okay? Mm-hmm. Not that they are we'll left play. To face. Yeah.
Okay, if teams that they've played, then they're number three. Right.
So, it sounds like across the board you guys agree there.
Yeah.
That was an interesting one, though, Brian, when you brought up the Rams, because I thought the Rams, the Seahawks – those are the kind of teams that had some talent. Like, we talked a lot about that secondary for the Seahawks and how they could pose some problems. Cowboys actually overcame that pretty well.
Yeah.
But I think teams like that where it's like they're talent rich, like they got talent. Yeah. It's just a matter of where they kind of show up.
I know looking at offensively, the Rams have a couple of receivers. Yeah. The Buffalo has a couple of receivers. Rams have a tight end. Buffalo has a couple of tight ends. You know, you've seen with Williams running the ball with the Rams. They seem to have, you know, Cook. I think Williams is probably a little bit better than Cook running the ball right now. Quarterback, you know, Stafford was when he's healthy, he's on, he looks great. When he's banged up, he'll turn the ball over. We've kind of seen the same thing with Allen. So it's kind of one of those things where very similar to me offensively. And, you know, the play caller probably better at the Rams, but the new play caller, Joe Brady in Buffalo has done a good job of getting this offense back on track and scheming you a little bit better than what Ken Dorsey was able to do.
He's got definitely a little special place in your heart too for your Tigers, right?
Oh no, yeah, Joe Brady is outstanding. Yeah. It was unfortunate.
Actually, he
went to Carolina and it just didn't work out for him that well. But he's found himself again in Buffalo with those players. Yeah,
in Buffalo, I mean, they can be dangerous when they're on. Bottom line, I mean, they can be lights out when they're on and they can be completely lights off when they're out. I mean, there's no middle ground for the Buffalo Bills, and you just never know which version of them you're going to get on any given week. But you can kind of dictate that early on by pressuring Josh Allen, and we'll get into that, and you force him to turn the ball over, and then that makes him press that much more, and then it works into your favor. But, you know, offensively, they've got the weapons. Talked to Stephon Gilmore after the Philadelphia Eagles game, and he and Trayvon Diggs were already side by side at the locker, and he was asked, Stephon was, if, or Gilmore was, if if Trayvon was going to give him any tips on Stephon in Buffalo, and he was like, absolutely. So a little bit of gamesmanship going on there. I'm sure that Christmas holiday is going to be fun.
Yeah.
But I think the Cowboys have their hands full, but at the same time, they have the horses to get the job done up there. I think for Buffalo, the defense, their pass rush is certainly there. Leonard Floyd and those guys, they can get after you. Their linebacker core is stout. They can get after you as well. But you're going up against another secondary that is questionable, especially with Tre'Davious White on IR. So that secondary can be had if you can get past the first two levels. So Buffalo is dangerous, especially at home with Bills Mafia going through tables and going crazy. So if the weather continues to look favorable, at least you'll have that also in your favor if you're the Cowboys.
All right, we're going to take our first break. We're going to come back. We'll talk about the Buffalo offense. We'll do that in just a second. It's DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone, on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to the break.
DeMarcus Lawrence is the Dallas Cowboys nominee for the 2023 Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award presented by Nationwide. Help Tank raise funds for Dak Prescott's Faith Fight Finish Foundation by casting your vote on NFL.com/Man of the Year or tweet your support using the hashtag WPMOY Challenge. Voting ends on January 8th. Vote for Tank.
Welcome back. It is the second segment of the break. We are live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, and the segment's brought to you by Blockchain.com. All right, let's talk about the Buffalo offense. Buffalo right now, they are ranked number five. They're the number five ranked offense in the NFL. They're number five in passing, number 10 in rushing, number five in scoring. Brian, what do they do best? What does this offense do best?
I think their ability to put pressure on you with all their skill guys, and it's not an exotic way of doing things. But, man, I will say this. With Joe Brady as the coordinator, they're scheming more ways to get their guys involved. When you watch them in these games, the way with James Cook, the running back, the routes, the wheel routes, the combinations that they're able to use, the picks, the underneath stuff, the tight ends up the seam, they've got a lot of different ways that they can attack you. And, you know, they got a quarterback that's capable of making all the throws. But he's also capable of turning the ball over, too. You know, I went back and I looked at all of his you know, all the turnovers he has, and he throws those YOLO balls. The receivers aren't open, and he'll throw it to them. And, you know, he has late reads. He doesn't always see the defenders. The balls get tipped into half. I mean, he will turn the ball over. And I think there's times where he will move out of the pocket when he doesn't have to move out of the pocket. You know, if he would stand there and make the throws when his guys are open, you know, they would be, I think they would be even more dangerous. But it's a team that's got a tough quarterback. They got the skill guys on the outside. I think with the wide receivers, I think Gabe Davis does not get enough credit. Mm-hmm. He's the receiver that plays opposite of Diggs, but Davis is he's got a clutch gene the way he plays. He's a big guy. He's got these tough. He's instinctive. He uses his hands well, and, you know, to get off of press coverage. He's got the ability to create separation. You know, they've got guys, the two tight ends, you know, with Dawson Knox, and also with Kincaid. They've got guys. I mean, they've been dealing with injuries now at their tight end spot. But I tell you what, when those guys are all healthy and ready to play, they're a difficult group to deal with. So you're going to have two tight ends that you're going to have to deal with. So the Cowboys safeties once again are going to have to be on their be on the screws and ready for a group that can really make some plays down the field.
You mentioned Josh Allen and the interceptions.
Yeah,
he's had at least one interception in 11 of their 13 games.
Yeah.
That's a pretty tough clip. And also, he's had at least one in the last 9 games consecutively.
Right.
He's had at least one interception that he's thrown. Is there anything that you've seen on tape that you look at and say, here's a way Dallas could lure him into making some bad decisions?
You can fool him. And so we've talked about the way that Dallas can play some of their coverages, and there's times where he's not really sure if it's a drop linebacker or the linebacker where that linebacker is going to be. He will also throw the ball to an area because the play tells him to throw the ball to that area. And then I've seen guys come off routes and make interceptions, or guys undercut routes and it's interceptions or knocked away or tip balls. His vision, I don't think, is great. And so if you know that, you kind of can read him as a player as he's dropping, as you read him. And then you just kind of naturally just go that way because you know the ball's going to go that way. I don't think he's a big look off and throw the ball the other way type of a guy. So anything in lanes or anything close, drive on it, because there's a possibility. He's not always accurate. That's a big problem for him too, is that he will throw some balls that are behind receivers or too tall for receivers, too low. But his biggest issue is he will not see defenders. So if you're able to kind of disguise in a way to give him a look, and then you drop somebody into an area, whether that's, we've seen before, we've talked about robbers, where you play the middle of the field, you play it too deep, and you drive a guy down underneath, or you try and double a guy, like you'll double Diggs, or you'll double Davis, or maybe double one of these tight ends. You could probably get you a turnover that way because he's not going to see you.
How does Dallas best let me back up. Josh Allen is the second. He's second on the team right now in the number of times he's rushed this season with 72.
Yeah.
He's also averaging 5.2 yards per attempt. We talked about this last week because Hurts is a similar type quarterback with the idea of maybe using a spy. I know last week it seemed like all of us were kind of against that idea by and large. Is this a week, though, that you really have to consider it because of not only how good he is at it, but how much they actually use him running the ball?
I think there'll be plays this week where he's naturally the ball carrier.
Right.
And after what the Cowboys went through with Hurts, in the way that they motioned him out and then got Clark, and then all of a sudden it was pop runs. I think that you'll probably see some of that involved. There were a couple of times in the Kansas City games where it was just old school 1940s football where they snap him the ball and then he just powers behind. He had a touchdown run where they just pushed the whole pile into the end zone. That was really a big play that way. I think that, to me, you have to be concerned about his ability to run. The spy stuff, we saw it a little bit last week with Bell and then Clark against Hurts, but it wasn't as extensive as it probably needs to be this week. To me, I think this guy will run. I don't think Hurts wanted to run the ball. I think this guy does want to run the ball, give an opportunity. So if you want to say, okay, try and keep somebody over the top of him on these pass rushes, I think that's a pretty solid plan to have.
I would spy him. We talked about it last week as far as Jalen Hurts not necessarily wanting to run, so I wouldn't take someone out of coverage and run defense to spy him. Josh Allen is a different animal, especially when you look at the fact that he's been sacked only 18 times. That's tied for the league, the lowest in the league. And that's not because the pressure's not getting there. You know, teams are able to pressure him and hurry him over 30% of the time, but it's the fact they can't get home on him. Well, why can't you get home on him? It's because he will run. He's not thinking
twice. And he's hard to take
down. Yeah, and he's a big guy. He's a unit. So I believe you have to keep an eye on him, keep him in the pocket, keeping in mind that unlike Jalen Hurts in that you want to see Jalen Hurts try to win the game from inside the pocket, once you keep contain and keep Josh Allen in the pocket, keep in mind he can make the plays downfield to Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, so you have to get home on him. That's what you have to do. But yeah, to answer your question, Derek, keeping a spy on him, I think it's a no-brainer. And you know, for me, I look at a guy like Marquise Bell for that, somebody that, you know, has the speed but also has the toughness. He'll give up some size to a guy like Josh Allen, but he has the toughness to be able to fight through and get him down. So yeah, spy him.
You know what I'm going to ask you, Brian?
They run the ball really well. Yeah, they're the second most. It's always a great question every single week. And this offensive line, I'll tell you what, they've got some pin and pull elements to them, but I think they want to maul you. I think that's the number one thing. It's a veteran group, with the exception of Osiris Torrance, who, if you followed the draft show here on DallasCowboys.com, we talked about him quite a bit. The guard from Florida, he could have been a guy that the Cowboys looked at that time. He's the starting right guard. They've got Connor McGovern, who used to be here. He's the starter at left guard. So they've got kind of a bully element to their offensive line when you watch. So the pin and pull, the crack.
Is he playing better?
McGovern, yeah, I think their offensive line at times it gets in trouble because the quarterback wants to move. He doesn't want to stand there. He wants to go. He wants to, you know, and I think he kind of runs himself into some problems. But overall, they're playing pretty well as a unit. But this is the best in the league when it comes to successful running plays. That means gains of 4+ yards. You know, if you look at the metrics on that, they're damn near 50%. On that, and they're second in the league when it comes to rushing first downs. So, you know, that's, to me, I feel like, again, this is visiting with Buffalo's guys last night on their podcast and stuff. They feel like that their strength in this game, they do not want to face Dallas's pass rush. That's something that they're worried about, even though their line, I think, plays pretty well. They're feeling like they're going to have to try and run the ball to win this, and I would agree with them on that. I think that they have to challenge Dallas to say, you know, and especially with no Hankins in the game, I think I'd challenge Dallas to say, okay, let's see how good your run defense really is without one of your key pieces there in the middle of that defense.
Let's remember what Dallas's run defense looked like before they went out and got Hankins. Like that was a thing. And so I think that has to be something that, if I'm Buffalo, I'm like, you're gonna have to at least show me that you've improved in that area without Hankins before I'm just gonna take it for granted that I can't run the ball.
I'm just getting tired of having to face my former dogs. Here we go again. James Cook this week. Last week, you know, and twice this season, you had a bunch of dogs, D-A-W-G-S, with Philadelphia, not D-O-G-S, because they got their nose bloody wonderfully so. But James Cook, he can do it all from the backfield. He can take it, and he can play dirty football and get in those interior gaps. But he's also one of their best receivers as well. He's averaging over 10 yards a touch when you throw it to him out of the backfield. He's shifty. He's quick. He has speed. If you don't get him down on the first tackle, there will be yak. Good luck on the second guy trying to get him down. But I do like so tackling will be paramount there as well. And I love what I saw from Marquise Bell and Damone Clark last week in both coverage, but also in run support as well. They were playing with their hair on fire. Keep that up. I think they felt and feel away after the Shaq Leonard headlines. So keep that chip on your shoulders, young men. But also I do like Brian bringing up Connor McGovern variable. I think McGovern is playing some good football. But when you're talking about an uncommon opponent like the Bills are to the Cowboys, you start to look for areas of familiarity. And Mike McCarthy and this defensive line, they know Connor McGovern inside and out. So they know his tendencies. They know how to break him down. They know his opportunities. I would draw a circle around anyone lined up across from Connor McGovern to see if they can continually exploit that, because Mike McCarthy and Dan Quinn, they do know what McGovern is and they do know how to break him down. So that might be an opportunity to get interior pressure. And there you go. If you can get interior pressure and then maintain contain, there's your sack right there.
Brian, you've mentioned that they've had they have multiple offensive weapons at the skill position.
Yeah.
But it seems pretty apparent to me that Allen really, really, really stresses getting the ball to Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
They check this out. Diggs has 60 more targets than the next closest guy.
Yeah.
He has 132 targets. The next closest guy is Dalton Kincaid at 72. So it's very clear that he relies on him and wants to get him the ball a lot. My question for you is, how does Dallas best match up with Diggs? Is it a one-on-one type situation? If so, what corner is the best guy? Or is it a situation where they really got to bracket him and really pay extra attention to him?
No, you're absolutely right. He's the seventh most targeted receiver in the league, and for good reason. He's very similar to what the Cowboys have in CeeDee Lamb, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Explosive, nonstop player. He'll take routes all over the field. He's most productive when you watch him run the hitch routes. I went back and was watching all his catches. Hitch routes, corner routes, and the goes. Those are the three that he deals with the most. There'll be times where he gets frustrated during a game, and you can tell. And what happens is Joe Brady's figured this out, and they'll throw him a screen. They get him involved. If they go long stretches where he's not getting the football, they will dial up a play to get him the ball. His run after catch is really, really good. Now, for Dallas to cover him, you know, you've shown that you have the ability to travel. You have the ability to travel, with Gilmore. And I would not be surprised if we once again see that. Then you deal. Now, the biggest concern for me, I don't think it's the corners that are the biggest concerns for me. It's how do you deal with these tight ends? You know, do you need to treat these tight ends as wide receivers? With Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid. Kincaid's dealing with a little bit of an injury right now. We'll see what his availability is. But Dawson Knox is coming back from a broken wrist. But they've got two tight ends that play with separation. They're fluid. You know, the corners can handle what they need to handle. It's can you and how do you match up with these tight ends? Because I think the first thing they're going to try and do is run the football, and then the second thing is, okay, how do we take advantage of these tight ends and use them in this game to kind of give us some easy opportunities?
And you want to stay, as far as coverage goes, you have to be as sticky as possible to these receivers because the Bills receivers and tight ends, they don't often drop the ball.
No.
Their catch percentage is over 70%. So if the ball is anywhere catchable, they're bringing it in. So, you know, get in there, stick yourself to their hip. Try not to be over aggressive as far as making yourself susceptible to possible double routes and things like that, or double moves, I should say, in the route, things like that. And get your pass breakups and just understand that this is one of those games where, yes, you would love the interception, you would love the defensive touchdown as far as like the pick six, but sometimes a PBU is the right way to win that particular rep. So don't be afraid to get your hand in there and don't necessarily always try to jump a route. Just get in there and break that up and break up the confidence between Allen and some of those receivers, because especially if it's a guy like Diggs, you will see Stephon start to get flustered on that sideline, start to get in Josh's face, start to get in the OC's face, and that's when you know you're on the cusp of breaking them. So stay sticky.
All right, we're going to take our final break. We're going to come back. I got some player evals. We're going to throw out some names on this Cowboys defense, and I want you guys to evaluate how they've performed. This is DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Don't put off getting your oil changed, Dallas. Take 5 Oil Change, a proud partner of the Cowboys, is faster than you think. There's no appointment needed and no waiting room. Yep, you heard that correctly. Take 5 is so fast, you don't even have to get out of your car. You can take advantage of Take 5's fast, friendly, and simple service at any of their locations across the Dallas area. And remember, at Take 5, you stay in your car because they're faster than you think. Take 5, the official oil change of the Dallas Cowboys.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the Playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to the break.
Experience the magic of the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at Christmas time, available through the holiday season on select dates only. Christmas Tours of the Star get you a VIP viewing at the Cowboys Christmas Extravaganza.
Extravaganza.
A holiday-themed guided tour of the Star, festive takeaways, including a limited edition ornament and a Santa hat. Space is limited. Book your visit at thestarinfrisco.com/tours today.
Yeah, try to take the tour at a time when our show is on, because we love seeing everybody come through here, especially people that are break fans. Like, it's actually pretty cool. So try to do it.
They just kind of walk by. Everybody else, they stop and wave. For us, they just kind of walk on by.
Yeah. All right, welcome back. It is the final segment of The Break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. Let's do some player evaluations. Here we go. I'm going to throw out a name, and I want you guys to tell me what you've seen from them. Anything that stands out in how they've played here over the last couple weeks. Let's start with Donovan Wilson.
Improving, definitely. We talked about the majority of the season. He was kind of up and down as he worked his way back in. You know, calf strain held him out of the entirety of training camp. But if you look at a game like last week, he's really finding not only his groove, but his confidence as well. So he's on the right trajectory. Needle is pointed due north, and hopefully in this most critical part of the season, December, January, we start to see more of the 2022 Donovan Wilson come out. But that's who showed up against the Eagles was 2022 Donovan Wilson.
Yeah, I've said this before. He was one of my favorite players because the moment he stepped on the field, he was so aggressive, not afraid to tackle and just go for it. And then that kind of disappeared earlier, like you said, earlier this season. It wasn't there. But then last week against the Eagles, he all of a sudden showed back up. So I need Dan Quinn to do exactly what he did last week in preparation for the Eagles, because everybody on defense was playing
animal
like crazy. And we were talking about the receivers, the Buffalo receivers, and the possible interceptions. This is a game where if you carry that over, the way that they were playing defense, even wrapping their arms around the player, getting like trying to hit the ball, get it out of their hands, creating turnovers that way, fumbles, it just needs to recreate. But back to Donovan Wilson, he's finding himself again and got a taste of the old Donovan Wilson last week, and I love that. So I think he's definitely improving.
Encouraging, because they needed to play well, and they're going to need to play well in this game too. It's going to be about tackling. It's going to be about limiting the number of big plays. It's going to be about tackling a quarterback in space too, if you get the opportunity. So I was encouraged by what I saw from Donovan. I thought the week before his eyes let him down on a couple of plays, but when he sees it and he goes after it, he can finish. He's extremely tough. They need that physicality these last four games and getting into the playoffs. You know, he needs to, as a group, that whole secondary, if they continue to play at the level they did against Philadelphia, you're going to play a lot of winning football with that.
Jayron Kearse.
also trending in the right direction. Had an uneven, stretch of the season. But I'm of the mindset that although there have clearly been some opportunities for improvement for Jayron Kearse, I don't subscribe to what I'm seeing like on social media when it comes to people saying that he's playing poor football.
At worst,
he's been solid. Like, there are film points where you could say, oh, well, you got to be better there. But there are also film points where you say, oh, there's Jayron Kearse. And I liked what I saw from him as well against the Philadelphia Eagles. And again, much like Donovan Wilson, Jayron Kearse can continue to play that kind of football going into this home stretch and going into January, the Cowboys will be right where they need to be, which would be Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium in February. So Jayron Kearse, he's had some ups and downs, but he's battled some injury. You know, he's fought through it, yeah. Right? Hasn't missed games for it, but he's fought through it. But he's really starting to come into his own as well. But again, I don't subscribe to the whole, get him off the field. I say we because I know Brian and I are on the same point in this. Mm-hmm. We love Wanya Thomas and what he brings to the field.
Yeah.
But it's also true that Jayron is playing some good football. So it's not a situation where, oh, get Jayron out of there, get Wanya. No, let Jayron do his thing. Let Wanya come in and get more reps. I would give Wanya more reps, but not at the expense of saying, hey, bench Jayron.
Mm-hmm. He's been an impactful player since he's been with the Cowboys, and it just hasn't happened at enough of a level that, you know, you get spoiled watching him play because of the length, the toughness, the smarts, all those things about him. He's obviously playing a little banged up right now, and that's been, I think, something that he's not going to admit, and that's to his credit. But, as we get into these games, the final four games and into the playoffs, if you can get him to be back to being that impactful player that we've seen from him before, the way he tackles, the way he's around the ball, the way he can cover, you know, those are all things that make this defense so much better when him and Wilson and those guys are showing up that way. I think a lot of these safeties that are playing linebacker, I think it's been tough for them because they're having to play in roles that not many safeties ever get to do. You don't play down in the box and deal with all the crap that those guys deal with. And I think it's taken its toll on some of them. But if they could find a way to kind of fight through that and then be ready to go. But he's an impactful player, and hopefully he gets that kind of turned around.
Yeah, solid guy. I think it's one of those cases where just because he's not necessarily making it into like highlight reels or hearing his name a lot, it doesn't mean that he's playing bad. He's doing his job, but also not necessarily making those huge plays, creating the interceptions, turnovers, or big tackles that you have seen in the past from him too. So he's doing his job. Now he can still take it up a notch, but he's been a solid guy.
Yeah, I'll say this. I look at him and Donovan in a very similar way. The reason why I think they are valuable players to this team and this defense is because of the impact plays. And so when the impact plays aren't there, you kind of miss them. Like, mm-hmm. you miss what they bring to the defense, because there's a lot of guys that have different roles on this defense. I think their role, both of them, I think their role is to make the impact plays. And we saw it last week with Donovan Wilson. Mm-hmm. Patrick, I looked over at you. I was like, that's what we've been waiting for, because that's what I think this defense relies on from those two guys, is those impactful plays. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go look at Malik Hooker, another safety, free safety.
I've been very critical of Malik Hooker, and I thought it was the best game he's played all year last week. And they run a corner route on him with Smith. Smith catches the ball, and Hooker comes over and plays with range and knocks it out of his hands. Yep. And that's where that reminded me of Malik Hooker I saw at Ohio State. When you play with range, when you get in position, when you're able to knock the ball away. I see what you're going here. You're going with all these safeties, mm-hmm. and they need to be better.
There is a thing.
I see the trend.
There needs to be. I knew that I wasn't going to get the Tyron Smith question here. But when this defense is good, they're good up the middle, mm-hmm. and you know now they're stressed. You know, no Hankins. Linebackers are, you know, fighting their ass off right now. You know, guys are playing out of position. And, you know, the safeties, the safeties as a whole played really well, and they need that. I mean, we were taught as scouts, you see it one time, you'll see it again. They're capable of doing that. Malik Hooker is capable of playing like that every single week, you know. And I think there's some times where he hasn't. I think all the safeties have it. But with the one time, you know, when they had to absolutely have all three of them play well, they did. Mm. And so that's my expectations going forward. You know, Malik Hooker, I saw you make a couple of plays in that game. You know, I need to see you make two more this week against Buffalo to turn this game around.
Yeah, another good showing this past weekend against the Eagles by one of the Cowboys safeties. I think of the three, when you talk about Hooker, Kearse, and Wilson, Malik has been the most consistent. He's had opportunities that you could, you know, say, well, you need to take a better angle there. You need to keep your eyes here or versus there. But of the three, he's the one that's had the least amount of swings or oscillations in his frequency. He's been the most consistent. And in his trajectory, you know, based off of last weekend, it's pointing north as well. So I give kudos to Malik Hooker, because when you talk about coming into this season, three-headed monster at safety, you re-signed Donovan Wilson to an extension, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, they were able to keep this unit in play. This unit makes a lot of splash plays for you. This is going to be fantastic. But then you see Wilson miss training camp, and then he plays uneven because he's working his way back. Jayron Kearse, he's uneven because he's battling through some things. Hell, he suffered another injury. Told me in the locker room he's okay, but suffered another injury against the Eagles. I anticipate he'll be on the field against Buffalo, but he's not 100%. Malik Hooker, he's been there every week, just consistently there. Has he been perfect? No. Has he been bad? No. Just in spots that you like to see.
But not everyone can be perfect, right, exactly, and great. You're going to have those guys. Right.
But my point is there are more things to point at when it comes to Dono and Kearse prior to week 14 to say, okay, we want to see more from there. There's not as many of those spots with Malik Hooker. He's been kind of the cool hand, Luke, for the most part. And I think that bodes well for them, especially coming off of a confidence builder like they just had against the Eagles going into hostile territory in Buffalo.
Yeah, I agree with everything you guys said. And to add on top of those injuries that you listed, we got to remember also the fact that Trevon Diggs is out.
Yeah.
Leighton Vander Esch is out. So that changes your whole defense, and that changes your responsibility, even as a safety. Some of the things that you feel more pressure, you have more stuff that you have to handle because those two guys are out, and they've done a nice job all in all. When you look at two starters being out on your defense, you expect a bigger that to have a bigger impact on your defense, and it has. I mean, it has for sure, but they've been able to still play games very well and manage to compete at a good level. So you got to take all those things into consideration, but I think you would like to see more out of the group as a whole. But looking at everything that they've been dealing with, I think they've done a good job.
All right, that's a wrap. We will be back tomorrow. We will jump into the Buffalo defense versus the Cowboys offense. Till then, for Patrick Walker and Brian Broaddus and Amber Garcia, I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?